With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
You know, it's terrible, isn't it? I have a confession to make. I have been looking forward to Friday since Monday. It's been a very, very big 18 months from my shoes where I'm walking at the moment. It's been a long, long time. But I'm very happy because TNT Radio is assured, now assured of being here and expanding for many, 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 many years. And I'm very proud and exceptionally humbled by the people that I work with. They are truly magnificent. That's all I can say. I could say more, but then they'll put their hand out and want to get money off me. But they're just fantastic. I've got to tell you, we have TNT Radio has some of the best, in fact, I think the best commentators and presenters in the entire world, and we are getting better. Because we're going to take him from the universe. But no, we are just, I'm very proud of him. So thank you very much. Now, got to, next week, in fact, I'm just going to tell you the dates. And then I'm going to read you something that is brilliant news. Now, on the Gold Coast on 10th of February in Australia, the Sunny Coast or the Sunshine Coast on the 11th of February, Melbourne the 12th of Feb, and Sydney the 13th of Feb. Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Pierre Corey. Special guest, Dr. Melissa McCann and John Leake. Now, Peter McCullough, I have to say, he probably is the most well-known doctor on the planet. Just about. Exceptional man. In fact, we interviewed him for Asia Pacific Today, which is about to restart under a different name. I think we're about the first in the country. And Peter is just an exceptional man. But we know that a lawsuit was filed by Baylor Scott, Baylor University, where he used to work at. And the White Health System, and they were suing him in a Dallas, Texas court. In 2021. The lawsuit, the best news against COVID-19 expert Dr. Peter McCullough, MD, MPH, has been dismissed by the 191st Judicial District Dallas County Court in Texas. Associate Judge Tahira Khan Merritt granted the non-suit and dismissed with prejudice all claims asserted or that have been could have been asserted in the case. In other words, it's been thrown out. Just a terrible, terrible thing to happen to a great doctor and a very good man. In response, Peter McCullough issued the following statement. This is a strong victory for freedom of speech and fair, balanced publication and media presentation of, wait for it, clinical data as it has emerged over the course of the pandemic crisis. My analysis and conclusions have been accurate, consistent, and have always been my own, not those of any institution. And Peter McCullough sends shivers down our spines. This is just the most magnificent news. And if you want to see a great doctor and great doctors, don't forget the dates. Gold Coast, 10th Feb, Sunshine Coast, 11th Feb, Melbourne, 12th, and Sydney, the 13th of February. And that's not very far away at all. So there you are, Peter McCullough. Also, speaking of COVID and Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. Who else is there? Anybody else that's tied up with it? James O'Neill has more about how Donald Trump has attacked Ron DeSantis for failing to fire Dr. Fauci and rushing untested vaccines.
Thanks, Mike. Former President Trump has kicked off his 2024 campaign by attacking fellow Republican Ron DeSantis, blaming the Florida governor for not firing Dr. Fauci and for pushing a poorly tested vaccine on the entire nation. Can you believe Ron DeSantis picked that joker Anthony Fauci to lead the pandemic response? What an idiot, said President Trump. And remember how they had to hospitalize DeSantis and Walter Reed when he had COVID because his oxygen got too low? Such a weakling. In addition to blaming DeSantis for the failings of Dr. Fauci, Trump also took the governor to task for rushing a vaccine through development with the federal government's Operation Warp Speed. Now they're finding out this vaccine has all these terrible side effects, and it's all because of Ron DeSantis, said Mr. Trump. Might as well call the disease Myocard DeSantis. Ha, what a total failure. Sad.
China!
Thus far, the DeSantis camp has yet to issue any direct response to Trump's attacks. Yeah, we're just as confused as y'all are, said DeSantis' communications director, Christina Pashaw. We always liked Trump, so it's honestly kind of sad to see his mind start to go. I know dementia isn't supposed to be contagious, but D.C. sure makes it seem that way. Governor DeSantis himself could not be reached for comment as he was too busy winning. Back to you, Mike.
And thanks very much, James, too. All tongue-in-cheek, of course, but it's interesting as it sort of heats up. It's only warm at the moment, but it will heat up. You'll have the primaries, and then you'll have the big one. I think Donald Trump will still run. I think he'll be the one that will be the selected one. Just be interesting, though, on the other side, do they pick Newsom? Do they pick Kamala? Certainly hope not. Actually, if you're a Republican, we certainly hope they do. Or does Michelle Obama get that jacket and leads the way for the Democrats? And if you look at Michelle Obama's past couple of months, in fact, it's all sort of gearing up. I mean, she's talking about serious issues, such as her thighs. Her thighs apparently are getting bigger and it's very uncomfortable. Well, true, that's what she was talking about. And that should win a few Democrat votes. Now, do you have a suggestion or for a possible guest that you would like to hear on TNT Radio? Michelle's thighs. Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss, then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website and help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
News reported fairly.
They are a reliable source.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The United States has sealed a crucial military deal with the Philippines, which expands U.S. access to military bases near Taiwan and the South China Sea. Jeremy Beck is one of our producers here. Jeremy, tell us more.
Thanks, Mike. The Philippines has granted the United States expanded access to its military bases, which greatly increases US presence in the region. The announcement was made during a visit to Manila by US Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. The Philippines Department of National Defense says that the United States will be given access to four additional military bases in strategic areas of the country, but did not specify the locations. The expanded access will fill a gap in US positioning in the region and enable it to better monitor Chinese activity in the South China Sea and near Taiwan. The deal has been made under an enhanced defense cooperation agreement that allows the United States access to Philippine bases for joint training, storing equipment and supplies, and building of facilities, though not to establish a permanent presence. The United States already has access to five sites. The arrangement will strengthen the United States' presence in the Indo-Pacific, where it has military treaties with countries including Japan, Korea, Thailand, and Australia. This is an important and concerning development in our region, Mike.
Yeah, it certainly is. I can imagine in Beijing over a cup of morning cup of tea, couple of dim sims and stuff, they'd be pretty upset. Oh, what's happening today? Oh, they're building new bases. Philippines is sidling with the US in more ways than one. What do you think the reaction would have been like in Beijing? And What sort of reaction will lead to an action, do you think?
Yes, China is certainly not happy with this. I'm sure they've seen it coming. The official statement from China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesperson told a regular press briefing on Thursday that the United States was strengthening its military development in the region out of its own selfish interests and with a zero-sum mentality. The spokesperson, Mao Ning, accused the United States of exacerbating regional tension and jeopardizing regional peace and stability, and said other countries in the region should be wary of being taken advantage of by the United States. So clearly they're not happy at all.
No, not happy Jan, or not happy Xi. Of course they're going to say they're not happy, and if it was reversed, the US would say they're not happy. But it's sort of it's almost tit for tat how to build up their presence in just globally, especially in the Pacific and South Pacific. It's a pretty important part of the world, isn't it?
Very important, and China's Australia's biggest trading partner, so it would obviously concern us. It concerns the entire planet, really, because if you have two of the biggest nuclear superpowers, China has some of the biggest nuclear weapons, you don't want to see them go to war with each other. So I don't see a military build-up is going to be won by either side, because you just destroy each other. So it's a concerning development. I would like to see increased trade among nations for mutual cooperation and mutual economic growth. I think that would benefit China and United States and indeed all countries around the world. But at this stage, there are certain interests that don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, I've just got to, hang on. I'm just on the line. Hang on 1 second. Yep. Okay, just was on the line. That was from the Defence Department here in Australia. We're marshalling our entire fleet at the moment. Unfortunately, the Collins class submarines haven't yet come up. They can go down, but they're still on the bottom of the ocean. But we are right behind the US because our 13 trawlers and our couple of tinnies, they're ready to go. Just that we haven't got any fuel. There's nobody to sail them. I mean, that's about it. Australia, without the US, Australia, I mean, we might say that, you know, we can protect ourselves. Whereas it's like saying the US just needs, for example, just needs, say, California or say Oregon, needs Oregon to have the only Navy to protect itself. It's just too big. In fact, we got more ocean around us than the US has. So for us to protect ourselves by ourselves, we can't do it. And the whole region relies on the US. The only problem with that is that we are relying on the US. And if you see who's running the US at the moment, big corporate, and then you have big corporate's second in charge, which is, of course, at the moment, it's Joe Biden. He's not the one who's running it. He's just, you know, the figurehead. And then you got Kamala Harris, who the next thing after painting the green buses yellow, she'll be painting the black submarines green because they all need to run on solar power. So the whole thing with the US is that we rely on them for our safety because they have the force and the numbers and the strength. Unfortunately, when you go right up the food chain to who runs the whole country, you've got silly Joe Biden, who's just truly corrupt and could very well be impeached before too long, or just booted out of the White House backdoor-wise because he is nothing but an embarrassment. But then the two ICs down the road from him, you've got Kamala Harris and you've got Newsom wanting to... He might be president. I mean, the guy is just a drip. And then you got Michelle Obama. You know, she'll threaten them with her thighs. I mean, the whole thing, it's a very scary scenario, isn't it?
It certainly is, Mike. I don't see any real leadership in the Democratic Party in the United States, none at all. Tulsi Gabbard was there, but of course she jumped ship for good reason. But in the Republican Party, there are some voices of reason, but unfortunately there are many rhinos in there, so they're pretty much establishment Republicans. So there's a few voices that we've got to look to, because if we don't get those, the whole world goes down. If the United States goes down, it really drags the entire planet down. So it's a big concern for us, or indeed any country.
Yeah, and then you have, which is also really interesting, with the Brits. I mean, they're part of NATO, but for example, against the Japanese in the Second World War, they also were very important for the defence of Australia and New Guinea, even though New Guinea was attacked by the Japanese and terrible atrocities had occurred there. The armies and navies around the world, I mean, for example, look at the Brits. I know this is going on a bit long, but look at the Brits with their Trident submarines relying on superglue.
This drop is too little to cover the head of a match. Yet this is enough adhesive, super strong, super fast to lift
Britain's Trident nuclear submarines.
It's Duro superglue. A drop will do to mend jewelry, ceramics, rubber, and
Britain's Trident nuclear submarines.
It truly is super strong and super fast. Super glue. A drop will do. Super glue. A product of Loctite technology.
So there you have it. The dangerous nuclear submarine and the rather dull
Duro super glue.
And so that's the Navy, and then the Army, but no one's joining their Army.
Go in. What do you want?
I'd like to leave the Army, please, sir.
Good heavens, man, why?
It's dangerous.
So there you are. They're the ones that are protecting us. I mean, maybe, Jeremy, you and I and a few of our friends can hop on a boat and sail somewhere where there's no Brits, no US, no NATO, and maybe we could live happily ever after.
That sounds good. It is a bit of a joke. Being an engineer, Loctite, super glue, any of that? No thanks. I want a solid bolt and
but it's
something that's welded, maybe, but no, not super glue.
Look at the British military, though. I mean, imagine what they do with the planes. How's that wing? Oh, it fell off. It's just terrible. I mean, where's the engine? What engine? I mean, but look at the I'm getting a bit carried away here, but look, you have the Navy, you're relying on super glue around the nuclear reactors, and then you have the British Army. They all want to leave. Why? Oh, because it's dangerous. I mean, people think that we're joking about this. It's satire, but it's true. What I'm playing is just simply true on how ridiculous our defence forces are and how pathetic the leadership of not only of the defence forces but of the governments. Look at Rishi Sunak, look at Joe Biden, look at Anthony Albanese. Best don't look at them. They'll make you want to vomit. Jeremy Beck, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Goodbye. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare.
Russia, Ukraine, and of course, you spoke recently about the ships off the coast of South Africa. Let's start there.
This is fascinating because this scene was printed in the Washington Post, which everyone who follows foreign policy in the U.S. knows that the Washington Post is the CIA rag, and the New York Times is the State Department rag. But this was so important that they actually ordered the Washington Post to print it. So this was basically Tony Blinken having a conversation with one of the Washington Post hacks, which usually follows the CIA menu, and going around a sort of offer you can't refuse mafia style indirectly to the Russians, because they are absolutely terrified about the is it happening, is it not happening Russian offensive, which could start tomorrow, next week, in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, next month, in 2 or 3 months, or never start at all. They don't know. So this is what we call strategic ambiguity. And the Russians, as very good chess players and diplomatic players, are masters of this game.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I like hearing the news.
A lot of news.
TNT Radio News.
Top of the hour, every hour.
TNT.
Okay, now, more bad news for Pfizer this week as their stock plummets. The more evidence emergencies Hang on, let's read that again. More evidence emergent. It comes out because of the vaccines is what it means. They have still the FDA, big tech and media covering for them, but for how much longer? Do they need another pandemic to save them? Omar Khan is a global consultant who's advised clients in the US, UK, Europe, South America, South Africa, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, Asia Pacific and Australia on leadership responses to opportunities and crises. His firm, EPL Global, seeks to convey better information for better decision-making. And his blog can be found at uncommonwisdom.online. Omar also writes a regular column for Daily FT, which can be found on ft.lk. Omar Khan, welcome.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. And you're... I see all these places that you've advised clients in. I haven't seen Uranus there.
We've been there and back, you and I, and decided to give it up as a lost cause. It's too frighteningly similar to some of the places that abound terrestrially today.
That's right. Is it Uranus or Uranus?
Well, it depends who's saying it. I think the Uranus is just getting a little too close for comfort.
Yeah, watch out for the rings around Uranus. Okay, now, sorry, it's very, very naughty of me. Now, Pfizer loses $40 billion in value as stock plummets. What do you think about that?
Oh, couldn't have happened to a nicer criminal organization. I just find it hilarious. Of course, their CEO made $24 million last year, hoodwinking the planet, and will continue his ill-gotten gains. I think this will continue to mount. Thailand has decided to annul or cancel their agreement with Pfizer so that people who are injured can sue them. So that's, again, not a good sign. Because where Thailand goes, who knows who may follow. And India is looking downright prescient, right? Because India refused to let any of those mRNA vaccines in without local trials. And like anybody who knows that their product is total bullshit, they refused. Mm. Because if you were confident, you would have welcomed the local trials. And also India refused to sign the indemnity agreement. So therefore, no mRNAs for India, which is why it's doing fairly well. And why all over the world where there's no mRNA, COVID is in the rearview mirror. So I think it's not a good moment for Pfizer. So they're trying now to look at other products and other pandemics, as you suggested. So for example, FDA, has done a letter of authorization for Paxlovid and Lagevrio, which says you don't even have to be tested positive for COVID to have them prescribed. But these were two medications that were designed, developed exclusively for COVID treatment. So I guess the US FDA is now just a fully owned subsidiary of Pfizer.
Mm. Just before we get into the next bit, I got something here from on Pfizer and, of course, the Florida Surgeon General, which is Joseph Latabo. Just hang on for a second. I'll come back to that in a minute and yourself. This is TNT Radio.
I got a news flash for you.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. The Pentagon has confirmed it's tracking what it says is a Chinese spy balloon drifting across America at high altitudes. Russia now says it has all it needs to complete its military operation in Ukraine as it pushes to secure its territory. And angry residents in South Africa have rallied against the country's largest utility company for failing to prevent widespread blackouts despite charging customers more for power.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And my guest is Omar Khan. Omar, before we get into the next bit, I just heard that story about that balloon that's floating over the US. I mean, there's two things here that this struck me immediately. One, was there a big jumping castle involved? Two, was it a birthday party in Beijing? Maybe it was Xi's birthday. Happy birthday to you. Oop, there it goes. Or maybe, here's the other thing, it is a spy satellite, well, spy balloon. Just how good are the Air Force there? Ah, oh, there's a balloon. I mean, if they can't shoot down the balloon, I mean, how would they go against a missile?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's nice to know you're being protected by these louts. And that, you know, that these twats are, you know, defending the so-called free world. And then you have to ask yourself, if they are, then we really are spending untold amounts of money for staggering incompetence and being asleep at the wheel. Well, we know the intelligence agencies don't practice intelligence.
No.
We know that they can't ever predict anything that's going to happen. They don't understand the societies they're studying. And so this is just ridiculous. I think there's been some report recently about all the money being siphoned off by Uncle Joe under the guise of development to Afghanistan, which might really just have been propping up the Taliban all this time. And, you know, so it's today's enemies, tomorrow's friends, right? As Saddam discovered to his chagrin.
Mm. You know, I have to say that I have to give to the Chinese. I mean, they've outsmarted the Americans, though, because the Americans can shoot down any plane. They've got missiles, ships. So close, but they didn't realize they could be attacked by a balloon. I mean, it's just...
Yes, nuts. Exactly.
Where's that balloon?
I mean, can you... Well, look, I would much prefer a planet where we're worried about balloons rather than nuclear missiles coming. So maybe truth is stranger than fiction, but utterly ridiculous. Everything that now wafts across the sky will be some Chinese or Russian plot. That cloud, the Chinese sent that to us. That gray matter, oh no, that's a thunder cloud. No, how do we know it's not Putin raining down pestilence? Ridiculous.
It is, and so is the US military at this stage too. The Florida Surgeon General, Dr. Joseph Latipo, says that the vaccines are absolutely increase the risk of cardiac injury, such as myocarditis and subclinical myocarditis. I'll play this, and Pfizer, guess what? They're late with the data.
But it really is okay to believe what your eyes are telling you and what your ears hear from your neighbors. The reality is that these vaccines absolutely increase the risk of cardiac injury, and it's actually way beyond the myocarditis that you hear about. There's even something called subclinical myocarditis, and we were supposed to have data on that by now, but Pfizer got an extension on the data deadline from the FDA. You know, it quietly got a 6-month extension on that. So yeah. It really is okay to believe what your eyes are telling you, and certainly people are voting that way. I mean, there's very little uptake of the bivalent.
If I offered you and representatives of one of these companies airtime to debate, would you do it?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Okay. I mean, it'd be great to get the data, discuss the data that actually shows safety risks but doesn't get any coverage. And we know why it doesn't get any coverage.
Dr. Latipo, thank you very much.
So there you are. That's Sean Hannity, who many have seen now as a... He has gone down in the eyes of us. He has dropped considerably because he actually supports the vaccines, supports the war in Ukraine. He says the Americans or the West need to smash them down or something like that. And there he is inviting Joseph Latipo to have a who's the Florida Surgeon General, to have a debate with
No, but they'll never accept a debate.
No, of course not. Of course not. It's not ever going to happen.
I mean, you see, you get supercilious disdain rained down on anybody who has a smidge of fact on their side. Mm. Now, 99 British, I think, doctors and legislators and others have come together to write a letter demanding that the myocarditis cover-up be defrocked and unmasked. Because, I mean, so this is happening everywhere. I mean, this is not a, you know, just something happening in the Mary State, you know, of Florida. So if 99 doctors and medical professionals, I'll get the facts right here, have demanded that the British Heart Foundation come clean about vaccine heart injury, and that'll happen, you know, the same day as you see a winged Pegasus in the sky, along with that damn balloon. You know, the thing is, winged Pegasus, that can be the image for this week for you.
Thank you very much.
You know, the interesting thing is, you remember in the early days, back when you and I were mere callow youth 3 years ago.
Too far back for me, too far back.
You know, still full of rank idealism, thinking that the world was not just overrun by ogres. And they used to say, anti-vaccine, you're anti-vax, you're anti-science. And then, you know, finally you just blow your lid and say, taking untested crap and calling it vaccine does not make you an alchemist. This is not a fucking vaccine, pardon my French. This is not a vaccine in the sense that anybody ever construed a vaccine. It's non-sterilizing. It's a therapeutic under another name. It's not tested. It has adverse effects. You're using it for something that ain't killing people, for which we have therapeutics that are safe. So no, we're not anti-vaccine or anti-medicine or anti-cuckoo land. We're anti your murderous greed. That's what we're anti, and long may that live.
Yeah,
we've got to stop buying into this horseradish.
No, I totally agree with you. I think the, I was talking to my wife last night about it, and I think the ramping up, especially in, say, in Australia, smaller countries, Canada, New Zealand, and look at Europe, because they've got a bunch of smaller countries there that under the auspice of either their state country or their state or country parliament and the EU parliament, which is a very dangerous organisation.
Yeah, no kidding.
And they are ramping things up. They are after... I mean, if you are to discuss and disagree with the vaccines, what might happen is that you could very well lose your voice to speak, as in the US under Kamala Harris's new Internet Task Force, Ofcom in the UK, the Special Services Act or Digital Services Act in the EU, and in Australia they're about to do something very similar, in fact almost mirrors what's happening in Europe. And that would shut us all down. So all these horror stories about vaccines will not be told. They will just disappear. And these bastards need to be held accountable because...
Right. Well, I don't think they're going to get away with it because, you know, ordinary folk like you and others will continue to shine a light in dark places.
No.
We
won't.
But, you know, but no, you will, because there's nothing else to be done.
No, we won't.
You will.
No.
Well, you keep saying that, but here you are doing it while saying, no, you can't make me. You know, they're going to try and shut you down. Somebody else will come up with an alternative channel. You'll get Botswana writing to the rescue again on the next WHO attempt. You know, even Peter McCullough, as you will have read, had his case dismissed by Baylor and the other fraudsters who took aim at him. Mm. And I mean, the evidence is mounting to such a degree that I think these are now the desperate measures of, you know, people who see the iceberg approaching. Because it's just, I mean, you just people aren't that dumb. That's why why are the boosters not working? It's not because our arguments have finally worked. It's just because everybody sees all these people dropping left, right, and center, and they see excess mortality, and they realize that Bill Gates says there's only three things wrong with the vaccine. They're not vaccine. They don't stop infection. They don't stop spread. And they don't really help that much in terms of adverse effects. So other than that, they're great. I think the problem is the whole... There's been an argument in the UK, and I wonder if you're hearing it in Australia. For the longest time, people have said that in marketing, even in churches, certainly in schools, we have to reflect the society we find ourselves in. Right, that our job is to just go along with wokesterism or millennialism or whatever it might be. And people are finally beginning to say, no, what if you're supposed to educate the society around you? I mean, imagine if the cavemen had said that our job is to reflect the society around us. No, we'd all be long in tooth and claw still. Walking around in our rags. Mm-hmm. Now they decided, no, our job is not to bloody well reflect the society that's around us. It's to stimulate the society around us, to educate, to challenge. And that's continued. That's been the march of history. I mean, what, in the Middle Ages, let's just reflect the society that's around us? During the height of slavery, let's just reflect the society around us? Mm. You hope not. But somehow we believe we've now reached the promised land and no further improvement is necessary. All we do is keep... No, it's ridiculous. And so the fact that... And somebody's got to call this out. Why do we just have to be a prism for stupidity?
Well, I'm waiting for your answer. I'm just sitting here listening to the the great one.
Well, it's not my great... I mean, it's just... The reason we're a prism for stupidity is because it's too uncomfortable to think. William James, far greater on this and many other topics than anything I would come up with, the father of modern psychology, once said that most people think they're thinking when they're simply rearranging their prejudices.
I like that one.
Yeah. It's very potent.
I said before that they would like to stop us. So before I get into that bit, which will lead up to that bit, in the US, because here in Australia and other parts of the world, they can use the might of government to shut things down. In the US, it's a bit harder because, they've got...
Constitution, yeah.
And they have guns. Yeah. And that's sort of a good deterrent.
And states. Least,
yes. However, you can do it... We saw what Twitter did to... to one side of politics and to one side of the narration or the narrative. AT&T have just and DirecTV or AT&T's DirecTV, that's because it's owned by AT&T, has removed Newsmax from its lineup. I'll play this, and the reason why I'll play this is that it will show you, because they've had OANN, they've been removed, and now Newsmax have been removed from the platform that can go into people's homes. You only have Fox, and Fox under Murdoch is now a very dubious corporation. People like Sean Hannity, he used to do a great job. Sean Hannity now there are big doubts. The others are following the company directive. The difference the ones who are different are, of course, Tucker and Laura Ingraham. I'll play this, though.
We're in a position now where AT&T's DirecTV has censored Newsmax, and we're here to get out the word of what you're working on and get that out to the American people. But so many American people now can't watch Newsmax, and I want to ask you about that because Speaker McCarthy joined the program, joined Spicer & Company earlier today, spoke with us. Here were his thoughts. Listen.
I will, can't tell you the number of people who tell me they watch Newsmax and like what they're hearing and want to have the choice to see it. You're going to see action taken because we believe it's responsible to allow everybody to have choice of what news they can want to listen to, what they want to hear. It really comes down to a free speech matter, and they should not utilize that, and Newsmax should never be punished simply because they're a conservative news outlet.
So Congresswoman Lauren Boebert was also on our program last week. She echoed similar statement. They will be looking into this. Your thoughts, will we see action here?
Well, there's only one reason why we are seeing this cancel culture affect telecommunications, and it's because they don't like what you have to say. It's not a business case. It's not some sort of entrepreneurial play. It is content-based censorship, and we need a multi-vector attack on this. The Antitrust Division of the Department of Justice should be looking into this. The FCC should open an investigation into this. And of course, the United States Congress should speak loudly about such an infringement of the rights of Americans to be able to use just their basic access to the digital world and to the telecom world to obtain diverse viewpoints. We didn't used to be so afraid of diverse viewpoints in America. And like, it wasn't that long ago, it was the left that championed this notion that we needed a great marketplace of ideas.
Right.
But increasingly, they're scared of anyone who reflects an America first or conservative thought.
Yeah, it's so true. And you look at all the liberal outlets that are on DirecTV right now, 22 of them, and yet they can't have Newsmax.
So that's that's done it the corporate way, as Twitter did and Facebook did. So what they do is they stop providing a platform for the voice of the other side, you know, a voice to have that discussion. So that's they're going, take Fox out, they're all stuffed. Now, in Australia, as with Europe and the UK, as I mentioned before, and in New Zealand, in Australia, they've given Michelle Rowland, our communications minister, has given more power to the organisation called ACMA, which is the Australian Communications and Media Authority. And what they've done is they're going to go after disinformation and misinformation. And if you are taken down, which anybody says anything against the narrative, such as COVID, climate change, any policy at all, basically, the government will say, take them down. You will be taken down. If you find a way of getting around it, you will also then face legal action, such as being jailed. Now, we've been trying to, which is really scary, because in 6 months' time, as with Europe, who are doing the same thing, now Europe are even scarier, because what Europe say is that you must abide by what, such as to Twitter, you must abide by what we're saying in Europe. But also you must show that you're doing the same in other markets. Otherwise, you cannot operate in Europe. And that's just about with all the policies now. So we've been trying to contact Michelle Rowland here every day to come on the show to talk about these draconian laws. And by the way, the arbiters are Google, Twitter, Facebook, and China, a.k.a. TikTok, which is owned by ByteDance, and ByteDance is owned by the CCP. So we've been trying
Maybe we could start a new one called Bite Me.
Bite Me. But you know what? We've been trying to call Michelle Rowland. In fact, we'll try again. Now, she's the Australian Minister for the Communications Department here. So let's just get on our bat phone and, you know, this every day we've been trying to get hold of Michelle Rowland.
So,
let's have a listen. Okay, just wait. Just hang on. Just stop. Stop it.
Come on, Michelle.
I'm busy. I can't come to the phone. I'm busy.
So there you are. See, every day we try on our
She sounds more lucid every day.
State of the art gear, and we got telephones here.
Look, I mean, this is not something new, right? I mean, protest still happens. It's just all fake. So, they've all had the hidden hand of the multinational billionaire class. Mm. So Stop Oil is funded by the Getty family. Mm. Greta Thunberg has more corporate sponsors than Formula One. You know, so
how dare you? How dare you?
You move your expenditure to local suppliers would do much more than Greta's, you know, kabuki show.
Thunderbird.
Yeah, Thunderbirds ago. Wokeism. Mm. I mean, if you want to know where wokeism comes from, someone said, just to your listeners, research Pritzker and Stryker, Stryker, the billionaire families. And in looking, use DuckDuckGo if you can, not Google.
Don't use them. They sold themselves out.
They did too, but they're still going to give you a better on that particular
It's not
search.
Quacked up what you think it is.
Not all it's quacked up to be.
Mm. The should say the bill.
But, you know, this is that wonderful line by JFK we have to remember, that those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Mm. And I fear that's where we may be headed, because people will not, as they demonstrated towards the tail end of this. I mean, all those mobs out in the street and all those people thronging various thoroughfares had an impact. Now they're trying desperately because of all the IOUs written. And Europe is in big, big shambles. I mean, some of the diplomats I know here won't look me in the eye. I mean, they know what they've done. And they know there's no end. This is like that, you know, when you practice what I've talked about this before on your show, magical thinking. They're thinking there's got to be some way we can cash the check and get out of Dodge. Because honestly, they can cancel Substack and other things that popped up in retaliation. You know, people find their own grooves. They find their own avenues. They're not going to be dictated to by this clown show. And then eventually an Elon Musk, and he's not a perfect remedy, but certainly he has leveled a little bit of the playing field. And people who had been banned and removed from Twitter have made a sort of belated comeback, even though you're still policed. You can't just say whatever the hell you want to. And I just wonder, who do these people think made them the arbiter? That some slack-jawed, angel-dusted teenager at Twitter or Google is now going to be the arbiter of what you are allowed to hear and therefore what you're allowed to think.
Yeah.
Who decides that?
That's right. Well, at the moment, Tim is deciding that we play a commercial break, so he is going to control our conversation. This is TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Dear Jacinda, we the biologically intact people of the world note with some interest your decision to step down as Prime Minister of New Zealand. We wish you much success in your future endeavors. However, we couldn't help but also notice that neither you nor anyone in your immediate family have died suddenly. Nor have Andrew Cuomo, Kathy Hochul, Gretchen Whitmer, Charlie Baker, Larry Hogan, Gavin Newsom, Mike DeWine, Bill Lee, nor any of the other fascist dictators who mandated clot shots for their constituencies, nor has anyone in their immediate families. Given the shocking numbers of others in the public eye, from high school athletes to professional footballers and football players to prominent newsreaders who have succumbed to gene jab injuries, we can't help but suspect that you've not complied with your own diktats. Accordingly, before you will be permitted to return to polite society, you and your family are hereby directed to report for forensic blood work to determine whether you did indeed receive the actual mRNA gene therapy injections, you call them vaccines, including all boosters. If it is determined that you only received saline or no injections at all, you will be administered all 5 shots in the same office visit. Godspeed, and don't you dare darken our doorstep again. It's for the greater good. For MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Hear about it.
And I don't understand the American people.
Talk about it.
I shouldn't have to just swallow what you're giving me.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And my guest is Omar Khan, man of great talent, great appreciation of the English language. And I'm not, but anyway, you're talking about, though, just before, we're just talking before about COVID and censorship. Well, in Georgia, I'll play this in regards to mandated vaccinations and the COVID hysteria in regards to students and other areas in Georgia.
New tonight, some state senators want to permanently block schools and most government agencies from requiring people to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Lawmakers put a one-year ban into place in 2022. It expires June 30th if they don't act. Today, the Senate Health and Human Services Committee voted 7-2 to advance Senate Bill 1. That would make the bill permanent, the ban permanent. It now goes to the full Senate. The Georgia chapters of the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American College of Physicians oppose the measure.
Of course they do. But that's actually good news, isn't it?
Yeah, very good news. Look, I there are these outbreaks of sanity and pushback, and all the bought and paid for shills hated. Listen, I'd be remiss in the few minutes Tim might accord us before time is up for this hour to mention that tomorrow is, and you know, I operate often and out of Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is celebrating or not celebrating its 75th in the day of independence, year of independence, rather, tomorrow. So it's Independence Day here in Sri Lanka.
Oh, wow.
And there's been a big hullabaloo about whether they should be celebrating.
Oh, really?
Given all that's been happening, because the current president, though constitutionally imposed, was imposed by the ruling party, who was ousted through the will of the people. He secured not a single vote in the last election when they had such a thing. So one could hardly say he has a huge mandate. He is, however, a good technocrat. He brought Sri Lanka back from the brink. But the Catholic Church, among others, feel that tomorrow would have been best spent in penitence, in contrition, in taking some of that money in these ludicrous tank and air shows, as if Sri Lanka needs to assert its martial capacity in this neighborhood where everybody's its friend, and they could hardly deter a nuclear India if it had such designs, that they should take that and have given out, you know, gifts of food or endowed a school or brought medicine in for struggling hospitals, or shored up something in the loan structure, or, you know, or whatever, that some kind of act of public service would have been reassuring to the IMF and others taking a look, rather than what I fear will be a muted, but still, under the circumstances, excessive swaggering, you know, chest-pounding display tomorrow. But a lot of people have spoken up. There's been, and I think that's heartening. Very few people seem to have drunk that Kool-Aid. Mm. Why they're now proceeding with it, I don't know. But it's certainly a lot better than where people feared it would be when, you know, the wheels came off in May and July. So that's just to bring that back to your listeners, that tomorrow Sri Lanka celebrates or commiserates. You know, it's very funny. In the first year of its independence, Sri Lanka was considered the Switzerland of the region. Mm. I don't think it's because they made lots of cuckoo clocks. I think that was meant as a compliment. And other than Japan, they were the only country that was exporting, say, automobiles and so on. And, you know, my gosh, it just shows how 40 years, 50 years, country and national fortunes can change. So any of those who are sitting smugly astride the world right now ought to beware, because, you know, stupidity only lasts for so long as a sell-by date.
Yeah, I think, though, places like Australia, New Zealand, Canada to an extent, but they're next to America. So, but places that are sort of cut off, I mean, look at Europe. If they all collectively join each other's hands, it's actually harder to fight establishment and to fight for basic rights, because you've got the might of the law or the might of the government and big corporations. So don't know about them. And I think it's pretty hard. But I do know what is happening about now. It's that music time, which means that Tim has got that itchy trigger finger, and he's just pushed the button. You know, he's very excited with that music. Always a pleasure. What are you doing for the weekend? You've got a bit of time. We've got 15 seconds. What are you doing for the weekend?
I shall do what H.L. Mencken said should be done by people like you and I.
What
can comfort
I tap,
the afflicted. Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
I'll get back to you on that one. If somebody wants to find out more about you legally, how do they do that?
FT.LK, the article I sent you, worth a look, so obvious it's not obvious. And every week right here with you.
Fantastic. Omar Khan, thank you very much. Coming up next, folks, we'll have Tommy Robinson in the next hour on TNT Radio.